Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. In verse 25, we are studying in depth what the Scriptures prove regarding the doctrine of preservation and perseverance of the saints. And today we're going to show how this doctrine may be proved by the work of Jesus Christ. That's the title of this Sunday school lesson, Proving Perseverance by the Work of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 7. And verse 24, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. Some of the strongest arguments to bolster and prove the saints' final perseverance are drawn from the believer's union and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The finished work of Christ, what He accomplished on our behalf, serves as a solid, lasting, eternal foundation for the saints' final perseverance. He is the rock upon which our profession rests upon and securely rests upon. And that's what enables us to endure to the end. It's Christ. It's His work. It's not your work. The rains of affliction may come. Floods of doubt may arise. The winds of temptation may blow against us. But our position in Jesus Christ remains sure, steadfast, and unshakable. And we find that here in Matthew 7:25. The true believer who is depending entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ is safe and secure in Him. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We're talking about the one that God inspired Paul to write about, who says, Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus everything in heaven and earth are going to confess Him as Lord. We are talking about the name, the eternal, glorious name of Jesus Christ. If you are in Him, you are safe. No matter, come what may, you are safe. I love that hymn that Edward Mote wrote. I'm not going to sing it for you, but I am going to quote it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Well, there's enough theology in that poem, that hymn, that it would do well for every Arminian, every Pelagian, every Catholic, every free willer. They ought to study that poem and line it up with the Word of God. We're secure in Him. There is a divine, indissolvable union that exists between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints of God are said to be in Christ, which means that we derive our spiritual life and our protection from Him. We are in Him. And Jesus told His disciples in John 14:19, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Our preservation is not dependent on what we do, but what Christ has done and is presently doing. We can be assured that as long as Jesus Christ lives, we shall live because of our union with Him. Do you believe Christ is alive? Do you believe He's eternal? Is this more than just a doctrine that we think about, or are you trusting in the living Christ? The one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. The one who's alive forevermore. The one who is at the right hand of the Father, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Do you believe that He is alive and real and that He is for you right now? You see, I believe this is much more than just a doctrine that we pay lip service to. I'm united. I'm in union with the living Christ. As long as He lives, I'm going to live. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." What's that mean? He's alive right now. He is acting as our great high priest. He is our intercessor, our mediator. The only way that our position in Christ could be severed, cut off, if you will, is if Christ Himself would be defeated by death. That is an impossibility. I believe it's impossible. I believe He's God. In order for you to lose your salvation, Satan would have to kill Christ. You are in Him. You have a divine union with Him. He has the keys of hell and death and is said to be alive forevermore. In Revelation 1:18, Colossians 3:3-4, "For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Christ, who is our life. Now from that verse, it's clear that the union between Christ and the believer affords protection and the assurance of final perseverance and ultimately glorification. Paul didn't say if you hold on, if you keep certain standards and rules that the church lists on their bulletin, if you hold out to the end, if you hang on, if you pray through, if you dress a certain way, if you have your hair cut a certain way, if you do this, if you do that, none of that. If you're in Christ, that's all you need. He didn't say if you hold on, you might appear with Him in glory, but rather, ye shall appear with Him in glory. In light of this divine union that exists between Christ and the believer, I'd ask those who believe you can lose your salvation, Arminians, Pelagians, and free willers, the same question that Paul posed in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Name them. Tell me precisely who. Tell me precisely what has the ability to sever you from your indissolvable, eternal union with Jesus Christ. I want specifics. Tell me. You can't answer the question. In fact, if you read the rest of Romans chapter 8, He gives you every conceivable thing. And He comes to the conclusion that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I love the book by Abraham Booth, and it's one of depth. He wrote in the 1700s. He was a Baptist in England. A particular Baptist. He wrote a book called The Reign of Grace. It'd be worth buying and reading if you don't have it. It says this. This is what Booth said. As it is written, Christ is our life. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid like the most valuable treasure in a secret place, with Christ, committed to His guardianship and lodged under His care, who is able to keep that which is entrusted into His hands. You are safe in God. The bosom of the Almighty is the sacred repository in which the jewel is safely kept. Cheering thought. For Jesus, the guardian, will never be bribed to deliver up His charge to the power of an enemy, nor shall any sacrilegious hand ever be able, by secret fraud or open violence, to steal the casket where Jehovah lays up His jewels. The life of believers is bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord their God. And the bond of that union shall never be dissolved. For he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit and with Him, and therefore absolutely inseparable. That's a good place to stop today. I know it's a short one, but I don't want to. The next point is very important, so we'll cover that next Sunday school hour. We're dismissed.